Welcome to today's Let's Talk Indianola. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with Superintendent Art Sadoff about the most recent Indianola School Board meeting.
Indianola School Board met in regular session Monday evening, and obviously one of the big topics of discussion was a positive test for COVID at Irving Elementary for year-round school and how that relates to the return to learn plan. So talk about that discussion the board had last night.
Sure. Well, we just kind of gave an update, and of course, there's high interest in that Irving's, you know, the first school back face to face in this new year, and the fact that the positive test came, you know, we found out on Saturday morning, so just a few days into the school year. We followed the process that we have laid out. The principal was immediately in contact with me and with Warren County Public Health Services, and led a contact tracing process by which you try to determine who had direct contact with the person who had the positive test. And direct contact is defined as being within 6 feet of the person with the positive test for 15 minutes. As Principal Morris went through that contact tracing process, it became clear that a large majority of that one classroom had been in direct contact with the individual who had the positive case. So at that point, we decided to quarantine that classroom for 14 days and move to remote instruction. We do have a good hybrid model in place right now where we're serving families remotely, and that was a little bit of transition and communication, and that it's the first time we've moved a classroom to that model, but I think things have gone pretty smoothly, and really the community, the parents have been incredibly supportive and understanding. Appreciate that we're planning and we're doing the best we can to both keep students safe and to provide a good education.
Well, I just wanted to talk about that transition from in-person to virtual learning. Obviously, you know, that's not something that's going to be easy when it first starts out, but is that something that, I mean, I guess the district is obviously hoping for that to be a seamless transition and just kind of, you know, 1 week you're in person and then the next week you're in virtual if necessary?
Yeah, that's definitely the goal, and we've taken the step of having a designated time each day in our school day for teachers to connect with remote learners, both synchronously and asynchronously, and to reach out to them. So, you know, we have about 13% of our Irving families elected to begin with remote learning anyway. Now, in a situation where you quarantine a whole class, including the teacher, there will probably be an opportunity to do a slightly different, additional kind of contact remote learning throughout the day than there is for, you know, a designated time in the afternoon. So remote learning for a quarantine classroom might be a little bit different than the remote learning option that people have selected to do every single day. But we do feel good about the process we have in place. Our teachers have worked extremely hard to learn effective ways to provide remote instruction. Our tech department has been incredibly supportive in getting the tools. We're still in the process of getting hotspots to families that do not have internet at home. And we have devices ordered for all of our elementary students, but there's a little bit of a backlog for getting individual devices out. So it's still a work in progress, but we feel good about our remote learning options.
And then just to kind of expand on that, I'm assuming there's a difference between an elementary school remote learning environment compared to a high school where it would be more of one topic, I guess. Is that kind of explain that difference a little bit there between that transition from just a classroom compared to a topic?
Right. Well, there definitely will be differences. The elementary level, they have the ability to collaborate within the grade level with other teachers. And, for example, they could have one third grade teacher take the lead on providing math instruction and another teacher take the lead on providing science or language arts, but still maintain connection with their homeroom teacher. So there's a little more collaboration ability probably with the elementary level. And there also are guidelines for screen time, which, you know, would be a little bit longer time period for secondary students than elementary students. But still, we don't expect any remote learner to be on, you know, to be on the computer 6 or 7 hours a day. That's not particularly healthy for kids. And that's why we're doing some things both synchronously, real time, and asynchronously recorded, so so they could come back and view a lecture or view instruction later that had been recorded. At the high school level, of course, is going to be very course-specific, you know, chemistry or American Lit or whatever, as opposed to general content areas. So really each class that a teacher has, they will be making some connection with students who are enrolled, who are doing online learning.
All right. Well, the board also talked about the emergency operations plan. Obviously, we don't want to go into details about that, but just kind of talk about the general overview of that.
Sure. Well, that is it is a confidential document, you know, as the law provides for, so that you don't have details out there publicly. But there's annual review required, and that's what we were doing. Our plan is pretty detailed. It takes what they call an all-hazards approach, and it meets all the requirements for what the legislation calls a high-quality plan. So we're pretty comfortable with where the plan is. Last year, our focus was to begin really putting emphasis on additional training and making sure that all of the staff was aware of and comfortable with the plan. We had some CPR and stop the bleed training lined up with the fire department, which got canceled due to COVID. And we also have plans to get the police department into each building to look at their specific plan and address any idiosyncrasies that each building might have. So the plan itself is solid. And then like anything else, you know, there's theory and there's practice. So you can have a good written plan, but then it's important to make sure you're comfortable and confident in acting that plan if you have to. So that's kind of where we're at with that. We'll continue this year to look at ways to collaborate with local emergency service providers and also to get all of our staff comfortable with the plan.
Thanks to Art Sadoff for joining us on today's program. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, find them online daily at KNIAKRLS.com under podcasts and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Let's Talk Indianola.